Okay. Remember last week we...
You hear me?
Okay. You remember last week we did come out from among them and be separate. Well, this is part two of that. We're going into the music part of what the church uses, what they call evangelism. I'm going to cover some parts of what the Bible calls music. And so anyway, before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you right now, and I just ask you to give me guidance with your message. And Lord, I just ask you to anoint this message and anoint those that are listening, Lord. And I ask you to bless this message, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm going to show, it's just a 4 minute, before I start with what I'm going to present to you, I'm going to show a video of what the church, the so-called church calls worship nowadays. And I'm not saying every church does, but you're seeing it a lot, especially in your, a lot of your youth rallies have, and it's usually for the youth, but there's even a lot of adult churches that do this, and go ahead and show it, Philip.
Some of the artists, you know, that were at, I'm not going to talk about this long, but these were some of the artists that was at, you know, the Mega Fest and you know, some of the secular artists that were invited to this. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because this was, to me, the largest merge of the church in the world that we've seen. Why are the secular, foul, cussing, sex-talking folks recording with the gospel? What's going on?
On stage, he calls it a revolution, and people young and old are ready to roll with it. From music videos to live in concert, Kirk Franklin almost single-handedly revolutionized gospel music, taking it mainstream by mixing urban beats with religious themes. He tells me, it's all about reaching the masses.
I have to be in touch with what people are going through, where they are, what the culture is speaking, so I can be relevant and take the gospel and apply it to where people are.
Trying to figure out what is it about them that everybody likes, the God in them. It's that God factor. That's what it is in somebody's life when, you know, you try to.
You want me to explain what they meant by God in me?
Hey, I'm going to be like them if I put on the same clothes or if I cut my hair the same way. And you don't got that thing? If you don't got the God factor, it's not rocking. You're not having it. When you got the God factor, you're doing what you was put on the planet to do, you're going to rock it out. You know what I'm saying? God and me. That's what it is.
We're here for the 9th annual BET Celebration of Gospel. Get ready to see so many of your favorite gospel and secular artists singing the music that you love. Music that is about the kingdom and about the God that we serve. My name is Mo.
Elvis is the one Satan used, and he crowned him the king of rock and roll. Hank Williams Sr. is the real king of country music, and both of these men, both died under the influence of drugs and alcohol, but yet both are considered heroes today. Why is that?
We are a young country. We are the pride, the sons and the daughters of American life. Oh, Hank would be proud, and Elvis would too. Oh, we like our country.
Okay, now, does that trouble you when you see that? Because this is going on in the church. This isn't in a concert. I mean, the world does this, but this is in the church. And remember last week I was talking about we're in the Laodicean age, where the church says they don't want nothing to do with God. They say we're rich in increase of goods and have need of nothing. That means they don't want God's worship. They don't want anything to do. When any time you don't have no respect for the gospel, this is what you're going to see in churches. When they don't want the cross, this is what you're going to see. That's what goes on. So now, where I'm going to start at now is, what is music according to Scripture? Number one, God created music. God created music. It was to worship Him. That was the whole purpose of music being created. So anyway, I'm going to show you scriptures on that. When God created the angels, they worshiped Him. And one of the leaders of the worship, the big leader of the worship group was Lucifer. And if we go to Ezekiel 28:13, let's go there. Says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, and beryl, and onyx, and the jasper, and sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now, when you look at this, it's showing you, especially when it says workmanship, that's talking about His ministry, His position that God made. Matter of fact, when God created the angels, Satan was the highest of all creation. He was the most beautiful that God ever created. And He also created him to worship and create music that would bring His creation, this is before Adam, into worshiping God. So Satan, and when it says workmanship, that's what it's talking about, his position, what he was assigned to. And when it talks about tabrets, that's talking about tambourines. And when it talks about pipes, that's talking about like a percussion instrument, a horn, he blew some type of horn. Okay? He didn't just make music, he was music. So you got to realize this. Okay, and then there's another scripture. Well, after that, before I go to the other scripture, when Satan was created, he developed music to bring people to God. And when he would make this music, they would fall down to God. Creation would groan, holy is God. There's nothing more holier than you, Lord. And Satan would make this music. But what happened, he got into rebellion, okay? He wanted the same praise that God had. He coveted God's praises. He wanted that. So let's go to Job. Before I go to that, there's another scripture in Job 38, verse 4 through 7. My fault. I'm trying to get all the scriptures, and I got it messed up here. Let's go to Job 38, 4, 7. Okay, well, okay. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched thine upon it? Whereunto are the foundations whereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, and that's referring to angels, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. See, Satan is at the time, Lucifer, he's the one that created this music that they sang. He was the praise leader, you would say, in today's standards. He was like the praise leader. And like I said, he didn't just make music, he was music. Everything, every fiber in him had something to do with music. And when they were shouting for joy, it's because of the music that he created. So we see right there, in the beginning, music was created by God to worship him. Okay, so I'm trying to get the picture, show you the picture of this. So then, after that, like I said, Lucifer wanted the same worship that God, that he created for God, he wanted that worship. And he was jealous. So when we go to Isaiah 14, verse 3, let's go to that. I want to show you something here. Isaiah 14, 14, verse 13. And he says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So we see here, he wants the same worship that God had. That's why when you read, he's always wanted the same worship. Even when you read in the Gospels where he told Jesus, "I'll give you all of this if you worship me." See, he wants that worship. He still wants worship today. That's why he creates a certain, he creates music. See, you got to realize when he was kicked out of heaven, that anointing that he had and that talent that he had, him being music, that was still there. That never left. He received anointing without repentance. Anytime God calls someone to be a minister or whatever, that anointing never leaves, no matter if that person leaves or not. And so when Satan was kicked out, that still was on. That talent was still there. But he changed it in another direction. Instead of God being worshipped, it was to worship self. And when you get into worshiping self, you get more into Satanism. That's what he wants. And the further you get into self, you go away from God, and then you'll worship him. And that's why he wants this. And he also wants this in the church. He's always wanted that worship that he had before. He wants it. That's why he tries to get in the church. That's why he perverts it. And because the message of the cross is not being preached, and there's no gospel, and a lot of the ministers don't want it, they want to do a new way, then it makes it easier for Satan to change the worship. You know, get rid of the hymnals. Let's get rid of this song. Let's put in something different. That fits real good in the world. Let's use that in here. So that's why what you've seen on those videos, that's common now. That's most churches do that now. They don't see nothing wrong with that. So anyway, yes, you got. He's gonna give you the microphone. Anybody have any questions? Feel free to.
Yeah. When Satan fell,
he became warped. He became twisted, you know, and that very thing that was created inside of him became warped and twisted with him. And likewise, I believe, you know, when man was created, he was created perfect and holy before he fell. And I believe that man would have never used music for the purpose of entertainment had he had never fallen. You know, had he had never fallen, he would have never used music for the purpose of entertaining himself. But like Satan, when man fell, also the talents and things that God built into us were twisted for our own purposes. Just as Adam lost God consciousness and gained self-consciousness, so did his talents. And so that's music was twisted, excuse me, just as Satan, in the same way when man fell.
You got a point, and I was going to go there. In Genesis, just what you was talking about, right after Cain fell and his children, a lot of, if you look at that, there were some people had talents in farming and raising cattle. There was one person that you're talking, that just what you're talking about, his name was Jubal. He was the father, you can show that scripture if you want, if you don't, it don't make any difference. Okay, yeah. It says, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. So he was the first musician that came on the scene, that of man, of men, okay? And during this time, you got to realize man fell. Okay, and a lot of people didn't want nothing to do with the sacrifice. They didn't care what it stood for. They didn't mean nothing to them. Cain left it, and a lot of his descendants didn't want it either, including Jubal. Like I said, he had the talent. God gave him that talent to do music, but he did it for self. He did it for his own entertainment, just like today's standards. You know, the music he played was for himself. It wasn't to glorify God. It wasn't to worship God. So this is the first person you see in Genesis that had the talent for music, just like Lucifer did, but he did it for himself. He didn't want to make it for God because he wasn't a believer. He didn't want the sacrifice. So then, from there, we go to, see that when you get into making your own style of music, that doesn't worship God, but it worships you. That means demon spirits are influencing you to do that. So anyway, Jubal is a good example. And Satan is changing. He changes it from worshiping God to worshiping self, to glorifying self. And that's why when you see the stuff on there, the songs you heard on there, none of it was talking about Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do. Anybody have any questions or any comments on what I just mentioned, or yeah,
I was going to mention something that Rick Warren mentions, that I think he uses Acts 5:42. Something says about the courts of the temple that you got to do provide different kinds of services for different type of people, kinds of you know, that's why he claims that different music, that you can play different music. You can have rock and roll. You can have punk rock. You can have all different types of music, because that's what the courts of the temple was supposed to mean.
And that's a lie right there. That's so much, because you're looking at punk rock, rap, all of that come from the pit of hell. God's not going to use something that's of Satan and turn it into something good. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Those men that made up punk rock and roll and hip-hop and even country and stuff, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Those were just like Jubal. These men developed their own style of music because they were moved by demon spirits. Anytime you do not worship God and you make up your own music, you're being moved by demonic spirits, by Lucifer himself. Because you got to realize Satan knows he knows everything about us. He knows how we were constructed. He's been around us for over 7,000 years. So he knows what makes us tick, and he's so good with music, he knows how to move music to get you to go away from God. And he so much wants to bring that into the church. And I want to show something else in Job, verse 21:12-14. This is, I want to show you, even in here it shows you what secular music does. Let me go to that here. It's actually a good example of what we're just talking about right now. When man develops his own music to entertain him instead of worshiping God, this is what happens here. Let me go to it. Okay, it says, they take the timbrel and harp, and that's talking about the tambourine and also the harp, you know, a string instrument, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. So it shows you right here. Their entertainment that they're creating, this music that they're creating, is taking them away from God. They said they don't want nothing to do with it. We don't want your ways. We don't want nothing to do with you. And that's what music does today. When you don't, when it's not made to worship God, when the right music is played, the kind that God anoints, people will come to the altar. And if a sinner walks in, they'll be convicted and they'll come to the Lord and you know, say, Lord, forgive me. They'll repent. They'll want to give their life to the Lord. But when you play this kind of music, it's not going to glorify God. It's not going to bring us sin. It might make your fingers pop. You know, you'll feel something, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit in that. And so it shows you right here what music is doing in Job 21:12-14. It's taking a person away from God. You start looking upon self instead of the Lord. Another thing, too, let me go here real quick. People want to experiential worship. They want to be entertained. They want to feel an emotion, but it's not. They don't want to be tied to God. They want to feel an emotion about themselves, or maybe about a loved one, or about someone they fell in love with. You know, they want a love song. They don't really want a song that's taking you to the Lord. You know, that's moved by the Holy Spirit. They don't want that. If you go to John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's looking for people to worship him. That's why when you're in a service and the music is, when you hear an anointed song that's truly anointed, that the person that wrote that song was moved by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be an atmosphere of praise. There's going to be conviction. There's going to be one side someone's convicted, one side someone's being blessed. You know, maybe they're being delivered from something because the Holy Spirit's moving in that building. The Holy Spirit's in that. So that's, and God's looking, God the Father's looking, he's seeking for those people to worship, those people that are looking for the truth, just like doctrine, you know, false doctrine and the gospel. You know, when you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit's moving in that. When you preach a false doctrine, demon spirits are moving, doctrines of devils. The same way is with music. Anytime the music is played, we need to have discernment, because just because something says Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that it's a gospel song. I remember a few years ago, there was a song by Kanye West called Jesus Walk With Us, and the church world just went crazy for that song. I know you remember that, Philip. Chris, you probably remember. It was called, a song called Jesus Walk With Us. It had nothing to do with Jesus. It had nothing to do. Matter of fact, in the song, he's saying, when I do my dirt, he's with me. You know, he wasn't saying he don't want it. He's not saying he wants to stop doing what he's doing. He's just saying Jesus is with me, like, you're all right. If you really listen to it, he's not saying that, you know, he hates what he's doing because he's not a Christian. He's made other songs that you cannot play. You would not be able to play here, not in the church. So, you know, that's why you have to have discernment anytime you hear a song. Just because something says it's Christian, just like we've seen on here, doesn't mean that it is Christian. Yes.
So in a way, you can say they're false worshipers.
Right.
Because if it says there can be true worshipers, there must be a false
right.
to distinguish them.
And you can feel something in. Anytime you get a room of people, that's what people, because you know, and I'm quite sure you've been through this, Chris, being doing youth ministries. I'm quite sure people probably tell you, oh, I felt something when those Christian rappers came or when the rockers came. Oh, yeah, they felt something. It was demon spirits. See, when a lot of times we think of demons, we think of someone coming with a pitchfork and, you know, they're going to go, ugh. No, when you're seduced, you're being lured in. It's going to seem nice. You know, it says Satan comes as angels of light. It says his ministers. So if his ministers come as light, angels of light, singing is a matter of fact, you got to realize this too. Music is the second most powerful ministry. Preaching is the highest, okay, but music is the most powerful. The second most powerful is music, and Satan knows that. And like I said, he knows how to make music. He is music. He still has that. So he knows how to move people. That's why we have to have discernment, because he wants to bring that back into church. He wants to come into church. He wants that worship any way he can. So that's why we have to be careful when you see stuff like this, because Satan wants to, yeah.
You know, God calls us out to be separate from the world, you know. And Satan wouldn't want anything better than to be an imitator, you know. So when you have this in the church, you know, he wants to imitate and make people that go to church to feel good about themselves. You know, he'd want them to feel that good because, you know, we threw God in here, we threw Jesus in here, you know. So they would feel good about themselves. And the Holy Spirit, you know, there's so much confusion going on. And they're so wrapped up in that. The Holy Spirit can't come in and do what it needs to do. So, you know, when you create an atmosphere like that, the Holy Spirit's completely left out.
That's true. That's true. Yes. Trevor has something. Yeah, that was a very good, you're exactly right on that.
Well, I was just thinking earlier, you know, praise and worship. The Bible says the Lord inhabits the praise of his people, the worship of his people. And I thought about the Holy of Holies. You know, and there was priests who were to stand before the veil and just worship. You know, that's what they did. And I thought, you know, how would it come across to play this type of music in front of the veil? Think about that. How would that go over with the Lord, who at that time would kill? I mean, if you walked into the Holy of Holies and your heart wasn't right, you were dead. But yet you play, well, what if they would have played this type of music? But now, what's the difference? Now that they're playing that type of music, but you're showed on that screen today in a church. You bring that into the house of God. And in the Old Testament, that would have been death. You know, but the only reason why it's not now is because of Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. And there's mercy and there's grace. And God's giving them space to repent. You know, judgment still comes. But because of grace, because of mercy, because of the cross, it does not come as quickly. But, you know, imagine the music you listen to being played in front of the veil, and then ask yourself, how acceptable is it?
That's a good example. And, you know, I was just thinking, too, Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus. Remember, they offered strange fire. They offered from another tent and brought it into the tent of the Holy of Holies. And they were destroyed. just like what you're saying. God would not approve of that. And they're offering what they're doing, but like I said, because of God's mercy and his grace, they're offering strange fire. That was strange fire. That's not of the Holy Spirit. But because the church, the quote-unquote church, the backslidden church, they don't have a love for the gospel no more. We was talking about that last week. Jesus is knocking at the door. He's knocking. They don't want him in. They'd rather have Satan. Satan's in now doing the worship music, not the Holy Spirit. And there's a problem. See, anytime we go away from the cross of Christ, that's what you're going to get. It's guaranteed. You're going to have crazy doctrine, and the worship's going to go. It's not going to be the regular worship. It's going to be this kind of worship. And it's not of God. It's from hell. It's from the pit of hell. And it's going to lead people astray, and it's going to get people to worship Satan. People don't realize it's going to go from worshiping Jesus Christ to eventually, because Satan wants that worship. He wanted that from the beginning, and he still wants it. That's why he told Jesus, I'll give you all of this if you worship me. And the problem with a lot of gospel artists, they want that fame that they see. That's why when you see BET Gospel and you see other shows where you'll see secular artists and gospel artists together, they want to share that same glory that they have. Because when you do secular music, that music doesn't point you to the Lord, it points you to self. So, and those gospel artists see that. They see the money and the fame, and they're like, man, I don't get that fame. Because, you know, when you sing gospel music, Jesus Christ gets the fame. When you sing secular, that secular artist is looked upon. The object of faith is him, that guy on the stage that's singing, or that woman on the stage that's singing. So the gospel artists look at that and go, man, I want that. That's what I want. Look at the money that they make. So they want to share it with them. That's why you see shows like BET Gospel, and you see all of them together, and you're like, why is Shirley Caesar singing with Lil Wayne or whoever's known? You know, you're like, why are they together? Because she wants to share that spotlight with him. She knows if I sing with I don't even know who's known now. Mariah Carey, I guess. If I sing with Mariah Carey, I'll get known like she is. The people that buy her records, they'll buy my records too. I'll get the same fame because when I do this gospel stuff, man, I don't really get no glory from it, and I don't make much, and that's what they want. It entices them. And when there's no gospel being preached, the cross of Christ not being preached in most church, it's going to lure you to that. You're going to want that. You're not going to want Jesus Christ. You're going to want what the world has. You're going to want what Satan offered Jesus. The difference was Jesus said no. Jesus didn't accept it. But most of the church world would accept it. Your gospel artists probably would accept it. Most Christians would. That's the sad part. Yes.
I remember a couple years ago I went to this thing called Winter Jam with some former friends of mine. And I think even Heather went, and, like, they had good groups and stuff like that. Like, there was a bunch of, like, they even had some of the songs that, like, Chris sings and stuff like that. But I remember there was, like, a couple that stood out to me. Like, the title of them was, like, Jesus Freak and stuff like that. And it was hardcore, like, rock and stuff. And, like, I know the concert, like, I feel all together as a whole, it was pretty good. Like, I would go back. But just, like, some of the songs, I was like, this is not, like, what, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable singing it in church. And it was, like, just very hardcore and, like Jesus Freak. I think anything with the word Jesus in it and the word freak in the same sentence is like not.
That's right.
I couldn't understand him. I went home and looked at the lyrics, and I just remember I was like, I mean, I don't know if I was the only one that went. Like, I remember Paula, and I think it was the night we all stayed in the hotel or whatever. I just remember, like, I was like, I mean, I liked it. They had like Casting Crowns and people, but then some of them was just like too hardcore.
Well, you know, just what you were saying, a lot of these concerts, you'll have some songs that are anointed, believe it or not. Some of the songs that we were just talking about this. Some of the, like you said, some of the songs you heard were songs you would sing in church. But what happens, see, the Satan's clever. He knows he can't use all of, especially in the church, he can't use all of hell and bring it. He has to have some of God. You know, he's going to put strychnine on something that you want to eat. You know, he's not going to just give you just a straight glass of strychnine. He's going to put it on a sandwich or your favorite dish. That's what he does in the church. Yeah, he's going to let you sing one of your anointed songs, but he's going to bring one of them songs or do something like that to bring him. He knows he can't just walk in the service. And so you're right. you're going to hear some songs that's anointed, but a lot of it's garbage. So you have, that's why you have to have discernment. Well, we're about done. I see our time's up. You have anything to say?
Mike, I was just going to say, what do you think when they bring, like at the end of that clip there, you know, that was a secular song that they used, and they brought that same exact melody and rhythm into the church, and a lot of churches do this. I've seen it done several places. I've seen it done at youth camps, at concerts. Well, they'll take a secular rhythm, a secular chord progression, and bring it into the church. You know that, and they'll change the words. They'll put Jesus into somewhere. They'll replace something with it. But as you were talking about, the beginning of that song wasn't birthed in the church. That wasn't birthed out of the heart of a believer. That wasn't birthed by the Holy Spirit. That was birthed out of the world. And now they bring that into the church, and just because they put Jesus's, that doesn't change the spirit that's in that song at all. That's 100% still satanic, still the devil, still the world. That's not a church song. And a lot of churches are guilty of this. They do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I remember a guy. You probably remember him, Philip. There was a guy in Troy. He used to do concerts. He was a Christian. He was saying, "You are so beautiful to me." And try to make it a Christian song. He didn't even change it. It just, you know, so I guess he's trying to say that's Jesus. You know, you'd be like, what's he singing? Isn't that a Joe Cocker song or something? You know, but yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, you're right. I've seen a lot of them do it. And it, yeah. That just because you put Jesus on it, that's like putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, because they probably get that from a seeker-sensitive churches, because here Rick Warren says there's no such thing as Christian music, only Christian lyrics. So if they're believing that, they think they can take something from the world, change it, and then that makes it Christian.
Well, the big controversy in the contemporary, I mean, in your seeker-sensitive church, where if you were to talk to someone who believes in all this stuff, they'll say it's not the beat, it's the lyrics.
Now, you want to speak on the beat a little bit?
Huh?
Do you want to speak about the beat and the rhythm?
I don't want to. We'll be here for another few hours.
All right. But. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, like you and I have talked about before with rap music. I mean, rap music was birthed out of something that was specific, the rhythms and things. And if you listen to rap and you see people, they're acting crazy, it's because of that rhythm in the song that's going on. You know, just as you talked about, music makes your heart do things. It makes your personality to do things. And you bring that into the church now, as they did up there, you're trying to mix water and fire, and it just can't mix. It's not going to mix.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about rap. Hip-hop itself is a religion.
Thank you. That's what I was
going for. You can look on the internet. They're a actual government. You can look on the website. It's an actual religion. It's a belief. It's a belief that the black man is God. He created the world. And the founders of it, it was a guy named Kool Herc and a guy named Afrika Bambaataa. There's a spirit that they sing, and it told them to call it hip-hop because they were trying to bring this belief that came out of Africa from Egypt and stuff, the pagan beliefs, and they wanted to bring it where the people in the black people in America will receive it. So they decided to make beats and stuff. It started back in the mid 70s, and it became what it is today. They make billions of dollars now, but it's actually a religion. It comes out from the pits of hell. So how can a church? I've heard websites. You look at websites; they'll call it holy hip hop. How can you call that holy hip hop? That's like saying a Christian prostitute. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I agree with you. Because you put Jesus on something and put the stamp on doesn't make it Christian. Yes.
Well, you know, it's not the lyrics, because when David played the harp, he soothed Saul, you know, so he didn't sing at all. He just played. So it's
right. I agree. Okay, our time is getting so... Chris, I'll bring it back to you. I hope you got some understanding. I kind of fumbled a little bit, but I tried to bring what little I could on music. So I just, you know, thanks for listening, and thank you.